for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Last Sunday, I shared about our Wesleyan understanding of salvation. And we talked about how we're fearless because we're being saved not from something, but into something else. And that something else is God's love. And it's from that love that we love God and one another. And so, because we love because God first loved us. And this week, our scripture will help us to explore more deeply what it means to love. We'll consider as we now identify those the Holy Spirit calls us to see and to love, just what that love should look like. And we'll see how by that love, our world truly can be changed. And so as we prepare to hear a word from our scripture this morning, I invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, we pray that your word stirs up in us a renewed hope and a renewed spirit. God, we pray that our hearts and minds might be open to hear the message that you've crafted for each of us. God, I pray that these words will be your words, this message a demonstration of your spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes again from 1 John. We'll move into chapter 5 this morning, and we'll hear the first 5 verses. So hear these words from our scripture. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, is what our scripture tells us this morning. But then which commandments? The Ten Commandments as they're found in Exodus? Or as they're found in Deuteronomy? The commandments given to us through the prophets in our Old Testament? Or the greatest commandments found among our Gospels? The commandments given to the church through the letters that we read in our New Testament? Just what commandments is the author talking about here? Well, really, all of them. The Johannine literature of our Bibles, which is the collection of books we know as the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation, this Johannine literature, it sums up all of the commandments into these two, believe and love. Believe and love. The Johannine literature instructs us that we are to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then we are to love. To love God, and to love one another. So the love of God, then, is to obey the commandments, to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to love God and one another. I think we often zip past this first one, taking it for granted. To love God is to actually believe in the incarnation. It is to take as truth for your life that God indeed took on human flesh, became one of us, and dwelled among us in the person of Jesus. To love God is to actually believe that Jesus not only died, but resurrected. Holding on to these two things as truth, incarnation and resurrection, can be a challenge in a world that demands evidence, proof, tangibility. In a world driven by the human ability found in the scientific reasoning, it can be hard to remain faithful to the idea of an incarnate deity or a resurrected human being, and yet that is the very bold claim that we make as Christ followers. And so, to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God is to believe in the incarnation and the resurrection as truth, even in the face of a world that might often call it hocus pocus. You know, Adam Hamilton, pastor of the Church of the Resurrection, says this: I not only believe it, but I'm counting on it. I not only believe it, but I'm counting on it. To love God is to count on the truth of the incarnation and resurrection, to stake our entire lives on it. And when we do count on it, our love and gratitude pour back out. And our scripture tells us consistently that our gratitude pours out of us in love, love of God and love of one another, our brothers and sisters. And as we talked about last week, God's sanctifying grace enables us to experience and be a part of that love. Now, the Johannine literature really focuses on love of one another as Christian fellowship, love of our fellow Christians. But you and I know that the overall body of our scriptures tells us not only are we called to love one another, our fellow Christ followers, but we're called to love all of God's children, even those whom we might name our enemies. And it also tells us this, that love is more than a feeling. We're not talking about just looking fondly upon one another with warm fuzzies in our hearts. We're talking about love as an action. Loving others isn't something you just feel, it's something you do. And the author in 1 John makes that clear back in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, when the author says, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. It requires choice. It requires intention on our parts. Sometimes that action takes the form of helping to provide something for someone, like the scripture said. We see someone who is hungry or who is in need of clothing or shelter, and so we help to provide for those needs. Other times, love as action takes on the form of giving voice and power to another person, to fight for justice for those in our communities and around our world who experience oppression, to serve as an advocate for the vulnerable members of our society. And still at other times, love as action takes on the form of forgiving. Forgiving those who have hurt us or harmed us. And take it from my own personal experience of this kind of love, sometimes that's a choice we have to make every day or more than once a day, to choose to forgive and to love those who have hurt us, to show love to those whom we might want to call our enemies. But the author of 1 John wants us to know that this action of love, as well as the commandment to believe, that these things are not burdens. They're not burdensome, the scripture tells us. And you know, we see throughout the entire narrative of our Bibles that God actually tries to make things good for us. God doesn't actually want to burden us. God wants to free us from burden. Look at the very beginning in Genesis, when God creates humanity and puts humanity in the garden with all of creation at our hands. And then when humanity sins and turns away from God, and then feels the shame of that, they try to cover up with fig leaves. You can imagine how uncomfortable that would be. But it tells us that the Lord, their God, made them garments out of skin. You see, our God is kind. Our God wants to free us from burden. And then God gives Israel the Ten Commandments, not to burden them, but to free them. The commandments point people to God and to love of one another. And then come the rules for a king in Deuteronomy, which, by the way, none of the Old Testament kings were able to keep, but that are the perfect fitting mold for who Jesus was as king and is as king. And so the one true king, Jesus, comes in flesh and binds and loosens the law, giving us the greatest commandments, love of God and love of neighbor, reminding us that humanity wasn't created for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for humanity. God doesn't want to burden us. God wants to free us from our burdens. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God's yoke is easy. God doesn't want to burden us. The commandments to love God and one another, to believe, are not burdens. But notice Jesus doesn't say, "I set my yoke upon you." Rather, he says, "Take my yoke." It's our choice. We have to be intentional. We get to choose to live by God's commandments or not. When we do, Jesus says we find rest. For living by God's commandments relieves our burdens. But we have to make the choice to receive this grace and mercy that our God offers to us. And while God's yoke is easy, and God does desire to make things good for us, living by God's commandments, believing and loving, doesn't always feel like the easy choice. Sometimes in the moment, in the midst of a challenge, in our pain, the choice to hate or to neglect or to dismiss and ignore, that feels so much easier, so much more right. Sometimes it feels monumentally harder to love. I'll give you an example. I've been reading Brené Brown's new book, Braving the Wilderness, and I posted an excerpt of this on my Facebook page over this last week, if you saw that. I highly recommend it. I haven't finished it yet, but the first half of it has been very good. But she shares a story in here about somebody who I think has encountered this monumentally harder choice to love, but also the freedom and the lifted burden that comes within it. Here's what she says and how she presents the story. "I can't think of a more powerful example than this sentence: you will not have my hate. In November of 2015, Antoine Liris' wife, Aline, was killed by terrorists at the Bataclan Theater in Paris, along with 88 other people. 2 days after the attacks, in an open letter to his wife's killers posted on Facebook, he wrote, 'On Friday night, you stole the life of an exceptional being, the love of my life, the mother of my son, but you will not have my hate. I don't know who you are, and I don't want to know. You are dead souls. If that God for whom you blindly kill made us in his image, every bullet in my wife's body will have been a wound in his heart. So no, I will not give you the satisfaction of hating you. That is what you want. But to respond to your hate with anger would be to yield to the same ignorance that made you what you are. You want me to be scared, to see my fellow citizens through suspicious eyes, to sacrifice my freedom for security. You have failed. I will not change. There are only two of us, my son and myself, but we are stronger than all the armies of the world. Anyway, I don't have any more time to waste on you as I must go to see Melville, who is waking up from his nap. He is only 17 months old. He will eat his snack as he does every day. And then he will play as we do every day. And all his life, this little boy will defy you by being happy and free, because you will not have his hate either. Mm-hmm. You won't get my hate. He says defiantly, you won't get my hate. It must feel like the harder choice. But in truth, taking the action of love to forgive, it frees him. He's not going to live shackled to hate, poisoning himself and those around him. Antoine will still experience the pain and grief of his loss, but he will be free of the consuming rage that he could allow to grow inside of him. He instead is choosing the action of love, choosing forgiveness. Our faith calls us to believe and to love. And then the scripture says to us, this is the victory that conquers the world. This is the victory that conquers the world. As I was preparing for this week, I read a statement that said, a life lived in faith already conquers a faithless, loveless world. A life lived in faith, believing and loving, already conquers a faithless and loving world. Our scripture says that when we live by our faith, by our love of God and one another, then we're already participating in the conquering of evil in our world. Darkness cannot overcome light. Darkness cannot overcome light, period. Love always overwhelms hate when we're brave enough to choose it. And by God's grace and through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit among us and in us, we too can be a part of transforming our world. You can see it in Antoine's story. Not only is he freed from the bondage of his hate by his choice, but instead of multiplying hate in the world, he chooses to multiply love. He says, "You won't get my son's hate either. I will not teach him to hate." Where there's evil forces in the world who would love to see this human being's hate multiplied in Antoine and his son and another, God's grace moves in and overwhelms with love, defying hate, multiplying love in the world. I don't know if his choice to refuse to hate, to love through forgiveness, comes from a place of faith. The book doesn't tell me. But I know that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe that God is at work in our world among us through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God's grace is at work in this man's life, whether he knows it or not. And I believe that God will do powerful things in and through his choice to choose love, to act in love, to multiply love in the world. And so it's by God's love and grace that we obey God's commandments to believe and to love. And through that belief and love, our God indeed transforms the world. Friends, it is already happening. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.